Greetings, and welcome to Telkinet first quarter fiscal 2017 financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Jason Tiener. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. And thank you for joining us today and for your continued interest in Telkinet. Since we spoke just 45 days ago during the 2016 year-end earnings call at the end of Q1, we'll be keeping today's remarks brief while updating you on the company's performance and six significant changes since that time. We'll also have time to answer any questions you might have regarding our recent divestiture, the first quarter, and our plans moving forward. Much has taken place since our last presentation due to the divestiture of our networking assets. In addition to the planning and execution of a separation of our networking operations from Telkinet overall, it's also necessary to physically move our operations, staffing, offices, inventory, and production facilities as part of this divestiture. In addition to this required activity, we're utilizing the recapitalization provided by the sale to strategically invest in growth areas moving forward, including R&D, sales, and marketing. Throughout all of this, the second quarter has begun with a large degree of sales activity and new interest, and the continuation of an extensive military project that's consumed much of our development efforts. To begin, in the last 45 days, we've been able to plan and initiate a significant amount of the activity necessary to separate our operations from the standpoint of software, systems, services, and utilities. While this transition is underway, we've identified and leased additional office space, expanding our existing headquarters to house all of Telkinet's operations, minus our inventory, production, and shipping, and should be completed and transitioned within the next 60 days. While our organization has shrunk overall, we're now better able to focus these resources on the key areas of our business. Through the divestiture of our HSIA networking assets, we've seen a dramatic change in our financial reporting, as well as will be shared by Gene shortly. While our full revenues have decreased due to the loss of the HSIA activities, this segment has been in decline over the last several years, while our EcoSmart revenue has seen significant growth over the same period. While it's been masked by the decline of the HSIA performance historically, this divestiture will ensure that our financials demonstrate the growth potential of our EcoSmart operations. Our expectations are that not only will we reach the same levels of revenue we've seen previously in short order, but that we'll do so at an increasing pace and with greater profitability due to the higher margins of our EcoSmart business and growth of our EcoCare services and licensing. The divestiture also provides the capitalization that will fund the growth of our EcoSmart business moving forward. Since the completion of the sale, Telkinet's operating cash has continued to rise, demonstrating our ability to strategically invest in areas of growth and achieve a return on those investments. We expect to continue to make targeted investments of this nature moving forward, including identifying international opportunity, strategic technological innovation and development, and investing in sales and marketing automation while focusing on channel development. Also, due to the greater insight into our business, we're better able to manage the operational costs of field services, support, and project management to account for cyclicality in our business and adjustments for industry performance. With the relocation of these services and placement of them under one department, we expect to see further efficiencies and cost reductions, in addition to further improvements in customer service and deployment timeframes. In addition, our engineering department is able to ramp development efforts to focus on priorities. This currently includes one of the company's most significant opportunities ever and an expansion into the residential market. Through associations with ESCOs and a growing interest in the military space, Telkinet's EcoSmart platform has a current opportunity to be a leader in an emerging market and is driving a significant development effort. In addition, the recent release of our EcoSmart mobile apps, EcoInsight and EcoSource Plus, and international certifications have all been driven by these market expansion efforts. Moving forward, further OEM work, product integrations, and international certifications are core to our R&D efforts, as is a new modular platform and API-driven development named Project Titan. This is an incredibly exciting time for Telquinet. With the influx in capital, we continue to make timely and intelligent decisions on its use in order to maximize return and capitalize on our innovation. Now, with a singular focus on the rapidly evolving Internet of Things industry, we also understand that in order to ramp our growth, we need to make thoughtful and strategic investments in our channel, our markets, and our sales resources. We've seen a dramatic ramp in the opportunities being brought to us by ESCOs, OEMs, VARs, and integration partners. Because of this, we've identified an opportunity to increase market penetration through the use of automation, both in our sales and marketing efforts. Moving through initial deployment activities, we've already identified a marked increase in our ability to reach our audience and greater capacity to engage with them. Through new analytics and tracking tools, we'll be provided with increased insights to utilize in making decisions and evaluating the success of those decisions. Through the use of sales automation, we'll expand on the cadence and reach of our sales force while maximizing the return that we recognize. These activities have already begun to bear fruit, both in the performance for the first half of Q2 since the acquisition, through employee morale and performance, and through increased interest in Telquinet and our EcoSmart platform. An introduction into opportunities that did not exist prior and an ability to meet the time frame, technology needs, and job requirements of these opportunities is only available to us due to the completion of this divestiture. As I mentioned, this is an incredible time for Telquinet and its shareholders. Our ability to achieve the potential for EcoSmart and our business as we identified several years ago is now within our reach, and we look forward to demonstrating this potential and our success in achieving it. I thank you again for your interest, and will now hand the call over to Gene Mushrush, Telquinet CFO, to share a financial review of our quarterly performance.
Thank you, Jason. Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and thank you for joining. Today, I will be summarizing our first quarter 2017 financial results. As reported per the 8K filed on March 30, 2017, the company and the company's wholly owned subsidiary, EthoStream LLC, entered into an asset purchase agreement with DCI Design Communications LLC, whereby DCI would acquire certain assets and liabilities of EthoStream for a base purchase price of $12.75 million. Per generally accepted accounting principles, results of this transaction are separately identified and presented as discounted operations in our condensed consolidated financial statements. My presentation will specifically address results of our continuing operations. For the quarters ended March 31, 2017 and 2016, Telquinet reported total revenues of $1.9 million and $2.9 million, respectively. For the 3 months ended March 31st, non-recurring revenues were $1.8 million, a decrease of 36% when compared to $2.8 million last year. Recurring revenues related to our professional support services remained relatively unchanged year over year. We posted gross profits of $875,000 compared to $1.6 million for the same period prior year. The gross margin percentage of 46% was a decrease of 9% compared to prior year, resulting from a decline in product margins and an increase in inventory reserves. Operating expenses for the quarter ended March 31, 2017, increased 4% to $2.2 million compared to $2.1 million for the same quarter prior year. Executive bonuses related to the aforementioned sale were main contributors to this increase. We incurred operating losses from continuing operations of $1.3 million and $490,000 for the quarters ended March 31st, 2017 and 2016, respectively. Income from discontinued operations was $572,000 and $611,000 for the quarters ended March 31st, 2017 and 2016, respectively. The gain from the sale of discontinued operations was approximately $6.4 million. We reported negative adjusted EBITDAs, a non-GAAP measure, from continuing operations of $871,000 and $462,000 for the quarters ended March 31st, 2017 and 2016, respectively. We reported $10.7 million in cash and equivalents at March 31, 2017, compared to $685,000 last year. Presented as restricted cash is approximately $1 million, representing monies held in escrow for certain networking capital and indemnification items identified in the asset purchase agreement. When successfully satisfied, the $900,000 of indemnification escrow will be released at the one-year anniversary mark of the closing date. Our current ratio improved to 4.7 from 2.1 year over year. We reported working capital surpluses measured as current assets less current liabilities of $11.4 million and $5.3 million for the quarters ended March 31, 2017 and 2016, respectively. And finally, at March 31, 2017, our debt-to-equity ratio, a measure of a company's financial leverage, decreased from 0.86 to 0.28 when compared to prior year. Sale proceeds were used to pay off the outstanding line of credit. As would be expected, the process of selling EthoStream required a significant amount of time and resources during the quarter. However, the end result has provided working capital not witnessed in recent memory. Simply, it affords us the ability to devote all efforts solely on a business with a greater top and bottom line potential. Once again, thank you for your interest, and to our shareholders specifically, thank you for your continued support. I'll now turn the call back to Telkinet's President and Chief Executive Officer, Jason Tiener.
Thank you, Gene. With that, I'd like to hand the call over to the moderator to take any questions our audience might have. Moderator?
Thank you. We will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from Michael Brick with National Securities. Please proceed.
Good afternoon. Can we just have a little bit of a sense of maybe some, I don't know if you can give guidance, but some idea of what you expect in the second half of the year. And I don't know if you explained it or not, but the EchoSmart platform was down 36% from last year. Can you sort of go into that a little bit more? Thank you.
Sure. We can give you a little bit of an insight into what we expect for the second half of the year. While we don't provide guidance because of the cyclicality in our business and the limited revenues that we see, we do try to provide an understanding of what our business experiences on a quarterly basis. We typically see an increase in business overall in the second and third quarters, largely because of the education market having a significant increase in our overall operations, and the majority of our activities within that market take place during the second and third quarters. We also see a ramping of the other markets that we participate in, including hospitality, military, healthcare, as the year endures. We typically see it start to tail off moving into the fourth quarter, with the first quarter being the lowest quarter for us historically. Last year was a standout quarter for us as the first quarter itself, largely because much of the business that we recognized during the first quarter was held over from the prior end of year and proceeded to close in the first quarter itself. Thus, as I mentioned, we expect to see a continued increase in business through the remainder of this year. We have a strong educational market activity taking place right now, so we expect to see not just in line with last year's performance, but increasing over last year's performance to the point that we very, very quickly believe we will ramp up to the same levels of revenue that we saw previously. The decline in overall revenue, as you mentioned, through the first quarter was, as I mentioned previously, holdover from the fourth quarter revenue for the prior year last year. This first quarter's performance was the second highest in the company's history, thus giving you an idea that while we may have had 36% decline year over year for this particular year, it was significantly a one-time event.
Got it. And do you have a ballpark plan on when you think you're going to become cash flow positive? Or is it way too early yet?
We don't believe it's way too early. And as a answer to that question, I'll describe to you how we determined when was the appropriate time to execute on our divestiture. We knew for the last several years that the revenue provided by our EthoStream HSIA networking business was what drove our ability to develop EcoSmart from a ground-up technology, build the markets that we participate in, and allow us to achieve the type of success that we've seen in its growth. That being said, we also knew that the HSIA industry itself was in decline with a limiting of customers, a saturation of the market itself within hospitality, and our ability to continue to participate in a increasing nature was declining simply because our focus on EcoSmart. Thus, that being said, we always understood that we wanted to maximize the value that we found in EthoStream and the opportunity for a divestiture at the point in time that we executed on it was when we believed the market value for EthoStream was at its highest. While it was a bit early for us on the behalf of EcoSmart, we're not entirely profitable as of today. We believe that we would be able to achieve that profitability on EcoSmart's operations alone within the upcoming year, thus making the decision to maximize the value of EthoStream while being able to achieve the profitability of EcoSmart was within our goal.
Just, and I'll finish with this. When you say within the next 12 months or by the end of the calendar year?
Within the next 12 months.
Okay. And then finally, just what is the growth rate of your target market?
When you state target market, are you looking at all markets that we service, or are you speaking to one market specifically? As I mentioned,
As a whole.
I really can't quantify that because, as I mentioned earlier, the industry that we participate in, several names for it, but we refer to it as intelligent automation or the Internet of Things. This market continues to grow as more and more technology evolves and is added into the overall universe of the IoT. That being said, when we first released EcoSmart, we were an HVAC company providing intelligent HVAC controls. Since that point in time, we've now added lighting, we've added plug load, we add third-party integrations, overall software monitoring systems, and lastly, we've added analytics and ongoing recurring support services. So as we continue to evolve the universe of what EcoSmart provides as a platform, that market continues to grow for us overall as well. So the best answer that I can provide to you is you conduct research into commercial markets for automation or commercial markets for IoT. That is the customer that we provide our solution into. But the opportunity or the revenue opportunity for us within that market extends beyond just revenue for hardware, extends beyond revenue for software. It extends all the way to revenue for services and a combination of all of the above.
Great. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Craig Boots, private investor. Please proceed.
Yes, I was wondering on this board switchover that we had a while back with the new board members. I didn't know what the status was on them wanting us to pay towards their getting onto the board. You know, I'm not sure just what those costs were. It seems like it was around $250,000, and I'm just wondering if you've got any update on whether we're going to be paying that money or not.
Yes, this is Gene Mushrush, the CFO. It's actually $160,000 that was the amount of the expenses incurred during the proxy challenge last year, and that will be paid in full in May of this year.
By the end of How is things going with them in regards to the different things that we disagreed with them on? I know one of them had to do with the reverse split so that we could uplist. I understand that they are now kind of with us now on doing a reverse split. I'm just wondering, are there anything other things that we still disagree with them, or maybe also on the reverse split, what all is going on there with them?
Absolutely. This is Jason once again. As you probably understand, as a new board takes over, as new members come on to an existing board, there's a transition where the board members are brought up to speed with where the company has been, where it's moving towards, what its strategy is, and what condition the company is in. We've moved through that path and process with the current board, and the current board has taken an enormous amount of interest and active interest in the business to the point of meeting with all of executive management. We have regular board meetings. I believe at this point the cadence is about every other month. I have consistent calls with the board themselves, in fact, to just minutes before this call itself. So the one thing you have to understand is new members join a board is, regardless of what the differences of opinion might have been prior to the contested proxy, it's in the best interests of all involved, the board, management, shareholders overall, for everybody to get on the same page and be oaring in the same direction, which is where we stand today. If you look at the upcoming proxy for the 2017 annual shareholder meeting, you'll see that on that proxy, it has once again been added to vote for the approval of a reverse split. As it has been in the past, this vote for approval of the split is not to exercise an immediate reverse split within the company, but simply to authorize the board to proceed with that ability if it chooses to do so without the need or expense of going through a special proxy in order to do so. It simply stated is putting the company in a position to exercise on events at the appropriate time without the additional time, resources, or costs necessary. The board, once having a conversation with management, understood that, as well as the board has taken an active position in the strategy of the company moving forward. So this is simply one step in an overall strategy that the company might take moving ahead. And it has been undertaken, obviously, with the entire agreement of the board and management.
Okay, and I guess my last question in relation to the new board members and the, I don't know how to word it, was some of our customers were a little worried about this transition, and I'm just wondering if you can shed any light on whether there's still any issues there, or are all of our customers now comfortable with what's going on?
The difficulty with customers in moving through a contested proxy, sir, is simply the fact of the contested proxy and the lack of knowledge of an outcome. But once that had been achieved, the proxy was completed and the board and management began moving forward and the company moving forward positively, continuing conversations within those relationships has comforted those same customers to moving us to the point where we are today, having provided some of the largest opportunities that the company has participated in its history. I can share with you that just the single opportunity that I spoke of during the call is one that has been underway for more than a year and a half on the company's behalf. And while it may have been slowed during the process of the contested proxy, we have demonstrated to our partners, to our customers, to the market overall that the company is strong. We just strengthened ourselves through this divestiture and pointed to the fact that we are now fully focused on our intelligent automation and IoT piece of the business. So we've been able to secure and solidify the business that we've been doing, comfort our customers, and continue our growth on the path that we began when first bringing EcoSmart to market.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Steven Santos, private investor. Please proceed.
Hi. I have a question regarding the VRF opportunities you guys mentioned, I think, a quarter ago.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, how did you guys identify the opportunity, and what kind of hurdles or obstacles do you think you'll encounter on the way to sort of penetrating that market?
Well, thank you for the question. It's a fairly technical question, but easy to answer. The manner with which we identified the opportunity was that we had one of our largest partners, Train, themselves approach us and ask if we would be interested in integrating our EcoSmart energy management platform directly to their VRF HVAC controls. They commissioned us to build a product specifically for them within the domestic markets for hospitality, and we did just that. They currently have full license to that product here within the domestic U.S., and while that has seen significant success through the train opportunity and efforts, we've continued to build out our VRF technology and integration into our energy management platform, both here domestically and internationally. So a lot of the development technology that we look to expand on, we make decisions based on how much we're going to spend and how we're going to prioritize it based on market demand. So largely, when you ask where we came up with a particular idea or why it is moving forward faster than something else, it's market driven.
Okay, thank you. And what kind of, I guess, again, barriers do you think you'll encounter when trying to install or trying to create this technology for VRF specifically?
Well, VRF has grown very quickly in the last, I would say, 12 to 18 months to become a preferred technology within the hospitality space. It's expanding within MDU or MTU, what we call large residential complexes as well. So the market for VRF is really driving our success. Our platform is one of the most prolific and has the greatest potential for being compatible with the most HVAC technology on the market today. So as VRF came out early on, we did not evolve to expand EcoSmart to cover VRF technology. But as I said, over the last 12 to 18 months with market demand, we've seen it taking on a larger and larger role within those markets that we service. We created integrated products and products manufactured specifically for our partners for them to address this market. So largely, our ability to be successful with VRF in the markets that we service is going to be driven simply by being first to market and having the most comprehensive, intelligent automation or energy-driven solution in play today, and that's largely what we have. So when I talk about sales and marketing tools in order to drive our abilities from a revenue perspective moving forward, this is exactly what I'm describing. We already have the innovation. We already have the relationships and the marketing position. We simply need to be louder in the market itself. Telconet's a small company in a large industry of large players. We have to be able to speak to our audience to a larger degree and more frequently, which is where a lot of our capitalization is driving our efforts moving forward.
Okay, thank you. That was helpful.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Mike Breard with Hodges Capital. Please proceed.
Yes, I was wondering, could you give us an idea of what the breakdown is between, say, the educational market and the military market and your various other markets? Breakdown in revenue?
Yeah, Mike, I'm going to have to give you, I don't have that information directly in front of me right now, so I'll give you a fairly open estimate, but I can state that hospitality itself is roughly 50 to 60% of our overall revenues, with the remainder being driven by education, healthcare, military, MDU, MTU. The quarter itself is going to dictate where that revenue breakdown is. So largely the first quarter would not have had a significant component of education. But that being said, second and third quarters, more than half of that remaining 40 to 50% is going to be driven by education. First quarter, it was more, I want to say, MDU and MTU, being followed by military and healthcare is a growing space for us. So in answer to your question, largely hospitality, 50 to 60%, remainder driven by our secondary markets, that remainder being split based on what quarter we're dealing with. Does that help?
Yeah. Are you at a point now where one university suggests to another one that they should get your product, and one military base suggests to another base?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. Right now, the bulk of our performance in the educational space is driven largely by referrals. And after referrals, the bulk of all of the work that we do in education is driven by our ESCO partners, companies like Johnson Controls and Ameresco and their existing performance contract relationships with educational institutions. But that being said, to your former question, We have probably two to three of our largest institutions being New York University, UC Davis. These schools actually conduct tours on our behalf where they bring other schools in to see exactly how they're deploying our sustainability technology, not just from a technological nature, but how they're engaging with their students in order to increase the performance of the deployments themselves. In the military space, it's a bit different. While obviously they share word via referrals from one engineering staff to another, again, a large amount of our activity is simply driven by our ESCO relationships and the existing performance contracts that they have in place on military bases. That being said, we're extending beyond simply working in the military through the military to where currently the military housing is operated by third-party commercial companies, companies like Forest City, Lend-Lease, Corvius, Zones Lang LaSalle. These are all commercial operators that don't operate under the same issues with regards to GSA schedules, et cetera. We have a greater capacity and greater ability to work with those types of organizations because it doesn't have as much red tape and doesn't require or isn't as onerous for Telconet as a small business.
Okay, good. So you're getting to be much better now in the marketplace then.
Growth has definitely helped us, and our ability to perform within the markets that we service have helped us over the past several years to enter into the type of opportunities that we're now undertaking, yes.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Craig Boots, private investor. Please proceed.
Yes, I just wanted to briefly go back to something that we were discussing with the new board members. I know one of the things that they had stated they wanted to do was to try to market the company and to sell the company, and obviously related to that would be our customers and how they would feel or if they would be uncomfortable with such a move. And I'm just wondering if there's any light you can shed on both of those issues.
Absolutely. Obviously, any discussion or consideration of a sale of a company has an impact on the perception of that business by its customers, partners, and vendors. We experienced that to a smaller degree just moving through the divestiture of EthoStream and how it impacted our ability to work with our customers and vendors moving through that process. That being said, it doesn't preclude you from performing that type of an activity or moving through a divestiture or sale action. You just have to be more conscious and considerate of the relationships and more upfront in your dealings with customers and vendors. That being said, in describing where our board is and myself as a member of the board of directors, the conversations that we have, this has always been a consideration, not just since the new board having joined, but in the entire history of Telconet as a business, because of being a smaller business in a very large and emerging industry, it's very difficult to appropriately fund your development efforts and achieve opportunities to the same degree that your competitors can, whether it comes to bonding costs, whether it comes to inventory buildup or preparation time. All of these are issues that are definitely more difficult for a small company like Telconet to experience and move through than a larger company whom which we might be competing with. But that being said, there's also an appropriate time to exercise a transaction with regards to the business because you want to maximize shareholder value in the business itself. And there are two pieces to that equation, the company's value internally and the company's value externally. What somebody else is willing to pay for it as well as what the company itself is willing to take. And making the decision to move through a potential transaction involves additional costs, resources, a greater impact on the business from moving through the action itself. So we continue to have ongoing discussions and continue to evaluate what the right timing for both the industry and its appetite for a business like Telconet, as well as the opportunity for Telconet to move through the transaction without significantly impacting its overall business moving forward. I don't believe that anything has been taken off the table at this point in time. And the board will continue to evaluate and share its message with shareholder as to where it stands. But at this point in time, we simply haven't decided to perform on that transaction. And honestly, if you understand the point of time that it took to move through an EthoStream to divestiture and have that completed, it relatively where we are today was driven by the need to exercise and complete that action first and foremost.
Right, I understand, and I definitely agree that right now timing wouldn't be the best time to sell the company, because obviously we could be worth a lot more if we waited anyway for some of our, you know, innovations to develop, and obviously that would make us a lot more if we were just patient and all that. And so I would definitely agree with holding off at this point. I was just more or less in regard to our customers, if this time of uncertainty with the new board members wanting to sell, if this was something that they were kind of leery or uncomfortable about, and if there was anything you can shed on that, if it is affecting our business at all.
No, I can absolutely share with you very briefly that I myself have relationships with a lot of our larger ESCO partners and integration partners, so I'm quite in tune with where those customers are and what their concerns might be with regards to our business, our technology, et cetera, at any point in time. As I mentioned earlier, even just our engineering development efforts are market-driven based on the need within our industry and how quickly we can get to market prior to our competitors. So that being said, having a consistent dialogue with these same partners, I'm able to understand where their head's at and be able to answer their questions on an ongoing basis. I mentioned during our presentation, we have the largest opportunity the company has ever participated in taking place at this point in time, and it itself is what is driving much of our development efforts. That being said, I consistently share our process, our status, our current activities with the board, and we have a discussion around timing, around what's in the best interest of the business. So those dialogues have been very fruitful. The board has been very helpful in guiding discussions and timing, and it's worked out very well for maintaining consistency and loyalty of our customer base internally by being able to share a solid and ongoing story with them. So we're in a good position as of today, and we intend to keep it that way.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Ed Stein, private investor. Please proceed.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing good, Ed. How are you?
Okay, thanks. A couple of my questions will be follow-ups to previous ones and a variation of some of the things you've already said, but I'll try to make them not too duplicative. The first is, are we still talking with Johnson Controls and Tyco about making our platform the thing that they can put both of their technologies on? Are there any progress there?
Absolutely. So we have a very strong relationship with Johnson Controls, and it's in a number of different areas. When you talk about technology, it's the ability to integrate one's products into another's software platform, and alternatively, vice versa. Their technology being able to speak to our EcoCentral platform. As well as from a development nature, we also have a sales relationship that has grown significantly over prior years. We had a relationship internally with a different organization within Johnson Controls that sold largely into the educational space. At the end of last year, because of my relationship with Johnson Controls and our discussions thus far, we formed a new sales relationship that extended into their building solution space, which is not specific to education, but across all commercial vertical markets. And largely it was a domestic relationship. In January of this year, we conducted a sales presentation for their national sales force in Las Vegas at the one of the largest HVAC conventions called AHR. That has shown extensive progress with regards to sales efforts and sales opportunities that have been brought to us during that period of time, to the point that since domestically the relationship has been working so well, they brought additional alternatives with regards to the relationship to us, i.e., we've been introduced into two different international areas to execute agreements or extend our existing agreements to cover. Thus, we have a lot of opportunity and a lot of activity taking place with Johnson Controls at any one given point in time. And those same types of activities extend beyond to other relationships similar to JCI, but in a different vein, groups like Train, groups like Ameresco. So we try not to talk about or to focus too largely on any one particular institution simply because they all compete with one another, and we enjoy the benefit of being able to work with all of them at the same time.
Boy, that sounds good. One other specific area you mentioned, although it's a huge one, if I remember correctly, about 3 years ago, Google bought Nest, and they were the biggest factor in the residential market. Are you saying that there is an ESCO out there who recognizes that we are a better technology and therefore are willing to join with us in trying to compete with that powerhouse?
I'm going to be very cautious as I respond to that, because by no means are we saying we're a Nest or a Google, but the benefit that we have is that Nest technology is targeted to a very specific space. It's to a consumer market, to a residential market, to a small physical area, and it does not require large aggregate reporting capabilities or additional control capabilities. The difference that Telconet's EcoSmart platform has is that it was developed from the ground up with those very very key features as the heart of our technology platform. The ability to scale extensively, the ability to be controlled in aggregate from any one location across multiple mediums and multiple platforms, and the ability to provide comprehensive services across the entire platform, meaning the hardware, the software, the services, and the analytics that provide a comprehensive platform owned by one owner but managed across large-scale deployments, 100, 1,000 homes. That's where a ESCO partner of ours has identified our technology as being a leader in this space. We've typically existed within one building but scaled up to hundreds and thousands of units within one building. The only difference in this particular environment is they're working with us to scale the platform across any number of buildings across the same number of products or devices deployed. So we've been working extensively on the developed platform for work within the space, as well as the reporting platform. We've identified and developed for the first beta installation that we have had running now for roughly 60 days, a mobile application developed to help deploy and help analyze the deployment of afterwards this particular market. So we've been working through the initial steps in deploying within this space, and it's been very eye-opening for us in a number of ways, both from product development as well as scale of deployment opportunities moving forward. So to answer your original question, are we Nest? No. But do we fit a different niche and have superior technology for working within that particular niche? Absolutely, yes.
Sounds exciting. Okay, now here's the question I've been asking for 2 or 3 years, and I think there's a different answer now. I've always wondered why, if we have one of the best, if not the best, technologies in this space, we have great partners. We have you've done wonders in instructing. I was going to use training the folks from Train to do their own installations, and then, if I remember correctly, you've even put the instructions for how to install our technology online so people can either refresh themselves or learn from scratch. That's pretty impressive. So, you know, despite that, over the last couple of years, and I know there have been reasons for it, that there were distractions and costs from the proxy fight and now from divesting yourself of a whole division, which you had wonderful results with. With that money, will we now be able to capitalize better and start to see more volume and more profitability now that you have that fund to take advantage of all of these advantages that we have in the marketplace?
Or well, I have
how,
to say
how
it, that
will
was
you use that money?
Absolutely.
How will you use that money to capitalize? Well, capitalize, that's redundant. But how will that help you? How will that get us across the finish line and getting to constant and consistent profitability?
No, absolutely, and thank you. It's a very broad question, so I'll make an effort at covering it. So one of the biggest disadvantages that Telconet has had in the past is that while we have had superior technology, we were first to market and fastest to market with a number of different products and continue to out-innovate anybody in the verticals that we service, we were unable to expend much for cost or resources in broadcasting our knowledge and our awareness of the marketplace. Largely, as I mentioned previously, our development is market-driven, so we're working with customers who require technologies we develop those technologies, get them in their hands, and ultimately win their business moving forward, and through their referrals, additional business, et cetera, and ongoing. But with a firm of 7 individual internal salespeople, prior to building out the base of relationships that we have within our channel, that's a very small workforce to take your message to market and build a large, scalable, ongoing revenue. That being said, if you look at EcoSmart first product deployment took place in February of 2011. The final platform product deployment took place in December of 2015. So through those 4 years, while selling to our audience HVAC controls and an expanding platform, but not a complete one, we continued to out-innovate and out-develop a platform that our customers wanted, needed, and wanted to utilize on a very low-cost R&D budget and minimal bare-bones sales and marketing budget. Now, as the full platform has been released, we've gained reputation within the verticals that we service, having the appropriate certifications within hospitality franchises, having the appropriate partnerships through ESCOs, OEMs, VARs, and integrators. We've moved from being 100% internally sales-driven to now roughly 50% of our sales and growing is channel-driven. And as that continues to grow, we expect to see that hockey stick type of revenue climb that we always talk about in you know, the business. The difference here is that we now have capitalization to assist both ourselves internally as well as our partners by providing the market awareness and market penetration, by providing the training to our channel partners and support of those channel partners with internal resources, and by providing the prioritized development of those products that they need to get to market most quickly and will help us solidify our positioning within the verticals that we service. So thus, as I mentioned during the presentation, the three key areas that we invest in using this capitalization, while we do it intelligently, not just simply invoking an enormous amount of investment because we have it, but simply adding areas where we know that we're weak, we will be participating in increasing our investment in R&D, in marketing, and in sales. Utilizing those three areas, we believe they're going to generate their own ROI to provide the type of profitability that we expect to see moving forward and increase our revenues as we expect to see as well.
Well, thank you. That sounds exciting. This is what we've been waiting for.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate you continuing to follow us. And if there's anything I can ever answer at any time, Ed, please feel free to give us a call internally. With that, I think, moderator, we're going to wrap up this call. So I appreciate everybody joining us today for Telconet's 2017 first quarter earnings call. Don't forget, with regards to our June 1st upcoming shareholder meeting, which will be held here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. If you have any questions, have not received your proxy, or require additional information, you can contact us here at ir@telconet.com or by phoning our offices at 414-302-2299. Again, I appreciate everybody's attention today and hope everybody has a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you. This concludes today's teleconference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines at this time.